Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Tuesday, we check in at City Hall just after 4 o'clock, and Keith, our guest, as always.
We have the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton.
Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. I'm fine. I hope you're well. Thanks so much for welcoming me back.
We always enjoy the company, and here we are on, well, this for you would be Halloween Eve. Next time we talk to you will be Election Day, so that'll be just a separate dichotomy of everything going on. So let's have some Halloween fun. What is your favorite candy to find in the old orange pumpkin there on Halloween night?
Ooh, I'd have to say maybe a little Heath bar toffee is a treat that I look forward to, you know.
It's rarely known, but that is my 1A choice at the Blizzard at Dairy Queen. It's either Butterfinger or Heath.
Oh yeah,
I load it up.
Really?
Get out.
Yeah, those are like a A-list candy, right? I mean, candy corn, jelly beans, and whatever. You know, you get those too. But
I think a Halloween candy choice has to be chocolate based because the other ones are trinkets and accoutrements. Those are like appetizers. Heath bar qualifies because it's a chocolate bar, and it comes wrapped. And,
yeah,
and the candy corns, right. Come on. That stuff.
Oh, that yellow and orange stuff?
That doesn't count. See, the mayor knows good candy, Keith. That's good. Yeah. We're busy today, Mr. Mayor. We had a busy weekend. We've had a busy early part of the week as well. Let's take it back in chronological order just so we can get everybody on the same page. We talk to you every Tuesday, and then every Wednesday we hear from Indiana University and their dashboard, and we got a dashboard for schools and a dashboard for Indiana, and then the governor pops in. So you get us ready for the rest of the week, and then we have to react to all of this. Obviously, last week it was good to hear from Chuck Carney that IU was back down again. That's encouraging. It looks like the numbers here in Monroe County are steady, if not going in the correct direction. What is your overall impression here in week? I don't know what week is this. This is month 7, week 2. Gee whiz. Here we are.
704, it feels like. I don't know, but yeah. You know, it is an ever-changing landscape. It was good that last week, when a previous week IU had shown some rise, that that major testing source the next week, which was last week, showed not continued rise, but a return down. That was really important to see. We locally, I mentioned last Friday that the utility, this wastewater testing, actually showed a bump up last week that we want to keep watching. I have to remind people this is not scientifically validated. It's kind of an experimental effort that's being done here and in a few other cities to watch for the viral traces, basically, in the wastewater. But we're going to keep watching that, and it looks like we haven't seen another big rise in that, so it's helping us have all these different sources. I will say the basic picture is Monroe County, Bloomington seem to be doing okay. Our school systems, our employers, our public are doing things that are really making a difference, and we seem to be doing okay. The state is not, just very directly, the state has basically doubled in cases and in deaths in the last month, and that's really concerning. It's obviously concerning for our state, it's concerning for our healthcare system, but we're also not an island, as we've mentioned before. You know, people come back and forth, and if everything around us is going south, that's hard for us to stay steady. So we really need to keep watching that. I really don't want to see the state relaxing or loosening, unfortunately, because that can hurt us too. So we'll keep watching that. Again, yeah, the IU numbers will come out tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll have our press conference on Friday to update people. But so far, we're hanging in there.
Mayor John Hamilton's our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And when we talk about hanging in there, the reports of, or are there any reports of hospitals getting busier with this, cases straining our system? From what I understand, Mr. Mayor, it's been pretty calm and eerily calm, which is good.
Well, the Bloomington Hospital, of course, part of IU, Indiana University Health System, Bloomington Hospital here, is doing fine. They've had a little bump up in the last couple of weeks. Their Bedford Hospital is full, and they've actually, as I understand it, had to consider transferring some patients and doing some management of that within the overall IU health system. You know, our regional hospital here serves people beyond Monroe County, and they've seen a rise of cases from people not primarily in our county. That affects them. As they report to us regularly, they're not running short on beds. They're not running short on equipment. But the whole system is feeling some more pressure. They've actually, I believe, announced they had to do some restrictions on non-essential operations or procedures, which they'd been able to loosen that up. So that's an indicator that that system is feeling some strain. And again, that's not surprising given the overall state pressures that we're feeling. So we look, and we're all going to be spending more time inside probably over the next few months. So we really need to be wary that, this second wave could be worse than the first wave overall. And locally, we need to continue, from my perspective, the mask wearing, the distancing, the controls in restaurants and bars, and be very cognizant of our sanitation. Get your flu shots, and you really have to act like you might be sick at any moment, as anybody you're with might be as well.
Are we worried more about, I don't want to say the overflow crowd, that sounds so callous, that's not what I mean, but it is what I mean. If Bedford has to send a bunch of people up here, that stresses our system out. Are we stressing our system out? Boy, that's tough. You can't tell them, hey, no, we can't take any more patients, just in case we get moving in that direction. Correct?
No, you're right. And actually, it was quite a few weeks ago, but IU Health at one point here in Bloomington had to transfer some patients out, and there's a great value in having a system that is statewide that has room to do that, to respond to hot spots or where they have needs. And we're part of that system. And, that's got pluses overall for us. It does mean that our hospital could get busier if Lawrence County, they've had a really significant rise in Lawrence County, and that can affect our hospital. But overall, the system is doing well, is prepared. It just reminds us that, we could be doing fine in Monroe County, but if the other 91 counties are not doing fine, then our hospital probably will not be doing fine, and that'll have repercussions to us, too.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. And Mayor Hamilton, over the weekend, the first home IU football game of the season, this far into the season, what do you make of what happened? The crowds obviously were not allowed. Downtown, football stadium, those kinds of things. There's some economic impact to the city not having crowds. What do you make of what happened? And we saw some pictures of some people out celebrating. Give us your view of what happened over the weekend.
Well, not being a football commentator, but of course it was an unbelievable game. That was an extraordinary effort and dramatic conclusion. So I certainly appreciate that it was an exciting afternoon and evening. And IU did a lot of things to make sure that game was held safely, controlling crowds and not having tailgating and all that. It was perhaps predictable that if such an upset had happened, that there would be some just kind of natural uprising of folks and wanting to celebrate. It was that could have been a super spreader event. Look, let's not beat around the bush about it. If you get hundreds of people gathering closely without masks, even though they're outdoors and even though it may not last a long time, there is a real risk. We're lucky that our overall prevalence rate is low, but that's not smart. Those students all agreed to wear masks when they're nearby other students, and they didn't do so that evening. And I know IU is concerned about it. It also happened not just around the stadium, but also on Kirkwood and some of those areas that we had closed off. And that's something that we have to prepare for, be ready for. We don't want to see super spreader events like that. Look, if you need to celebrate, just as a counterexample, the big, great big march that we had in June on Enough is Enough, outdoor march with thousands of people close together marching, almost all were masked. And it looked like we didn't really see a bump after that event. So how you behave, even in those kind of celebrations, is really important. And over the weekend wasn't the best, wasn't the best approach to that. And we need students to do smarter things.
The only good news is, I guess, I wasn't down there, so I've just seen the still shots from the IDS and social media. It looked like plenty of masks around the necks. Maybe right after we won, we take them off to woohoo a little bit. I don't know. You see my point. I don't know if they didn't have their mask on the whole time while this was going on. And some of those photos, luckily, if you saw them from different angles, it didn't look like there was more than 20 or 30 people there. We weren't talking about 200 or 300. This wasn't Showalter Fountain. The Bloomington police did not have to be called in. So I think in the grand scheme of things, that was a pretty good celebration for the level of accomplishment without being completely crazy. But the one part of that is interesting. You talk about Kirkwood Avenue. We talked to Mick Renheisen, the deputy mayor, on Thursday. Kilroy's was going to open. Kilroy's didn't open. Can you give us an update on anything going on there? I know it's not your business per se, but they have a license in this town.
They do. We were not informed by Kilroy's ahead of time. They did not get in touch with the city, which I actually communicated with one of the owners and said, that's not really helpful. It's helpful for us, as you indicated some months back, that you'd be working with the local authorities before you opened. And they did communicate to some, but not to us. So, you know, it is that venue. It's critically important that a venue like that operate in full compliance with the local rules and protocols and work with the health department to make sure they had everything set up right. And I think they decided that they weren't set up right. That's what I take away from their decision. They certainly had planned to open, but I think when they really got into the nitty gritty and the details of making sure they were complying with everything, they made a judgment that they weren't quite ready, and they did the right thing then, if that's the case, to not open. I've been in touch with another downtown venue that we have had concerns about gathering episodes that weren't consistent with the rules, and that's what we do. The health department does it regularly. I do it occasionally to just check in and say, look, you know, we're all in this together. We appreciate, we want to collaborate. We want to make sure you can operate safely and that you're protecting. And I think they just made the decision they couldn't do that this past weekend.
And that's if that's what they've decided, that's obviously their choice and their choice as a business. John Hamilton, the mayor, is our guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. Keith, what else is making news today?
Well, Mr. Mayor, you may have heard there's an election coming up Tuesday, and the county has added five more extra voting hours, but the numbers are pretty high here in the county. What do you make of this election and the turnout you've seen so far?
Well, it's a big one, and there's a lot of energy. I will say it is interesting. If you've ever been in a state in an intense presidential election when it's a real battleground state, it feels so different from here. We're kind of one of those states that's taken for granted by the candidates, so you don't get the intensity of the presidential race, but there are a number of other races that are hard fought, and of course we're part of the whole national scene. The first point I'd make is, and I just have to say this, it is just crazy that it's hard to vote. We should not have to wait an hour or 2 hours, or in some places multiple hours to vote. This is a democracy, and if you had to wait for getting your driver's license for 4 hours, which you used to have to do sometimes, people said, no, I shouldn't have to do that. And we should figure it out so that you don't have to wait long. It's exciting that there's so many people who want to vote, and we want to encourage everybody. The voting hours have been expanded, so, you know, please check it out. Please do vote. You can vote early downtown. You can vote, of course, on Election Day, a week from today, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you have an absentee ballot, you better get it in the mail, or else you can hand deliver it downtown. But there's a lot of energy, and I think everybody feels like it's an important election coming up.
It was interesting because last presidential election, we had a second early voting place opened, and no one used it. So sometimes we have to look back to our history to say, well, we don't want to throw that money down the drain again. How are we going to predict it was going to do this or do that? But the good news is, as you mentioned, and we talked to Karen Wheeler, the Monroe County Election Supervisor, last hour. As you said, we're going to add hours Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We will remind everybody about that. I asked her, why can't we add hours on Monday? She said that's out of her domain. That is state law. We can't do anything about that. So 8 to noon on Monday, and then coming up on Election Day, you must vote at your own precinct. The BMV will have extended hours, Keith, during that time, as they always do. Those hours will be for renewing or getting ID cards, nothing else. Can't register your boat that day. You can't bring your jet skis over. That, well, people get confused sometimes, and that's how it works. So that's interesting.
Mr. Mayor, one of the other things. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we do get into the logistics, and they're important, and everybody should get out to vote. But it is also a reminder of, you know, this is an incredible blessing of liberty that we all get to vote and decide our future. And it's unfortunate that so many people don't vote. But if you're registered, please get out and vote. This is our country. It's our community. It's our state. So let's let people know what we want to have happen there.
Mr. Mayor, the other situation, I know you keep your eyes on this closely because the city is your family, and we have another coronavirus, this time in the fire department and Parks and Rec.
Yes, we had a couple weeks ago, we had a transit driver, and then last week we had a fire department employee reporting, and then as you indicated, we just released, there was a Parks and Recreation employee. I hadn't even seen the press release, but Mike, you've seen it, I gather. So that's a reminder. We have 850 employees in the city, and we're now up into double digits on how many have gotten the disease. All have recovered, thankfully, and that's great. But it's just a reminder that all these folks out there working, like so many people working in pharmacies and hospitals and grocery stores, are all at risk, and we really need to do our part. I had somebody else reminded me reading about, gosh, if people are putting themselves and their families at risk to protect the lives of us in hospitals and other places, surely we can wear masks and keep distancing to protect them and to try to reduce the risk to them.
Absolutely. And just as you mentioned, double digits, that's it, over 800 employees, not triple digits. So are you proud of the way your staff has handled this and they've adhered to these protocols?
I'm really, really proud. I hope our community is. It's, you know, the police officers, the firefighters, the sanitation workers, the street crews, the parks employees, the bus drivers, all across people have kept this city going through all this, and it's not been easy for some of them. They've had a coworker get sick, or they know. I think we're pleased that it appears that almost all of these cases are caused by infection outside the workplace, it seems, as we do the contact tracing. So we'll keep plugging. They're doing hard work and good work, and our protocols that we put in place in March have helped, and they just remind us all, just keep, stay steady. We're not out of this yet.
In that regard, Mr. Mayor, we're all waiting to hear about a new testing site in Bloomington. Any word on that one?
No, I don't have news today. We do have the existing site at the Armory with Optum that's going to keep running, I think, through November, and at least that's kind of the state helped set that up. We will have another site that's underway. It's not been announced exactly where yet, but downtown, and I think we plan for that to be opened in mid-November. Again, you know, if you're feeling sick, or you have reason to believe you're exposed, you can go to the Optum site right now, or through your physician, you can try to get testing. But again, it's a reminder, you have to act like you might have the disease and might be infectious even when you feel fine. So we don't want to over-rely on a positive or negative test to tell us how to behave.
Before we let you go, Mayor, leaf collection, not testing. We're not testing it.
Leaf collection.
You got a new one. It's about ready to get underway.
Yeah, we had Adam Wason on yesterday, Keith, so we got into all the details of that. So we'll give the mayor a little break on the on the leaf collection side of things.
Oh, you got all that word. All right, that's good.
Well, that's good. Well, we want to pass it on because I asked Adam, give me some of the things you don't want people to do, and I think that's a little bit more important right now. We don't want
them in the street.
We don't want them in the drains. We don't want them making the roads slick and everything else. But no, you can reiterate that point. I think it's good because every time Keith and I look out now, it's windy and 48 degrees, and trees are leaving, and we should be leaving for warmer weather.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, the leaf collection will start in a couple weeks. November 9th, I think, is when it begins. I will note we're doing a little experiment. I don't know if Adam mentioned the pilot program. We're trying to work with some homeowners who volunteered to not have their leaves collected, but to try some composting and on-site management and other things. Because in the long run, it's probably not the most efficient or climate-friendly or environment-friendly thing to send this big truck around, which costs a lot of money, by the way, to suck up all these leaves. So we're trying some different approaches this year, and we'll see what they teach us.
And that's the interesting part, too, because the people are volunteering to do it. And Adam had one request. He said if we didn't have to get any leaves, that'd probably be the best. Not what we want to do, but based on man hours and manpower and gas and everything else, if you can compost them, if you can get them into the bags and take them somewhere else, that would be great. But, yep, we're all 2020. Well, flexibility. You got to be flexible this time.
I'll just, Halloween's coming up. Obviously, you mentioned the weather and the forecast. We don't know what it'll exactly be like. But just a reminder to people that, you know, really try to be careful and don't do anything too risky. Protect your family and your friends by going to the CDC guidelines and enjoy the holiday. It's on a Saturday, of course, this year, which is nice. But we have to recognize we're in the middle of a pandemic that's not getting better around us right now. It's actually getting worse.
And we'll be smart because I think we've done a good job. And kids, as we heard from Dr. Judy DeMuth earlier, doesn't seem like school is being a spreader. You've heard from your employees, it doesn't seem like work is being a spreader. So it's socially spreading. And I think if we connect the dots, we just have to be smart and be safe. And we'll get caught up with you next Tuesday, Mr. Mayor, on Election Day. We'll see how everything's going just before the polls close.
Thanks a lot. I'll look forward to that. Have a good week. Mayor.